podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
No, that's the title of it.
We're back. Just had to move that along very, very quickly indeed. Craig, from our point of view, it's very important, I think, to separate all the different bits of the football club within this, in that it seems crystal clear that the people who work at Liverpool, up to and including the manager himself, Jurgen Klopp, knew absolutely nothing about it. The team knew absolutely nothing about it. I'm prepared to accept that Chapel Street knew absolutely nothing about it. I'd like to know if London knew anything about it, but it all stems from fucking Boston, this one, and they have absolutely signed up to a pile of shite that I think they've misunderstood from start to finish. They've made a show of themselves. And you know what's worse than anything else about this, Craig? You know what could be worse than anything for them? They might have to, at some point, think about giving an interview.
Yeah. that's been one of the most infuriating things when you watch your manager and you watch the footballers, and he spoke about how he's worked and has been responsible for the bond that's been built over the past sort of 4 or 5 years with this team, with his manager, and he's made to stand out, and he's been hung out to dry in front of Sky Sports, in front of the world. James Milner's having to answer questions about something that he'd learned about that day or the night before. And then you talk about the staff at Chapel Street as well, the fact that they seemingly have got an email, according to The Athletic, had gotten an email on first thing in the Monday morning, and that's the first thing they'd heard about. That feels like you can't go back on that. I don't see how they can go back on that now. Imagine you're any of those footballers and they've done that behind your back. Imagine you're any of the staff high up at Liverpool and suddenly that lands on your desk. It's irreparable for me, I think. And I'll be interested to see now, when there was talk of protests at the weekend, and there was talk of fans gathering at the stadium and so on. I'll be interested to see what happens now, because there's been U-turns throughout FSG's history as owners, and if there's one here tonight or tomorrow, as we'd expect, is that one U-turn too many?
I mean, you're close, Gareth, to the idea of positions are untenable, frankly. At the very least, heads need to be kept down. But one of the things that I think there does need to be, literally, is someone has got to talk. Someone has surely got to talk, and the main fella himself has probably got to talk. And he's got to talk at length, and he's got to explain what the thought process is. He's got to explain why he now accepts that it's wrong, and he's got to explain what he's going to do differently. He's got to talk, and maybe, just maybe, they should start talking to other football clubs and other football people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I've already written a piece on this, and I've said in that, that it's difficult to row back for me. You're shown the disdain, like the immediate reaction from everyone you could see, and you still sat on your hands, and you're still sitting on them right now. This idea that, he's socially awkward or whatever, and he doesn't like doing X, Y, and Z. I'm not bothered. You're the principal owner of Liverpool Football Club, and you made a decision which, as you say, threw an awful lot of people under the bus, including people who worked hard at the club to change the image of the club, to improve relationships with the community, to improve relationships with the fans. I've felt a little bit daft the last few days, I've got to be honest, for sort of sticking up for them. Not over this, but I mean just in general, over months and weeks, saying no, they're doing a good job. They've had a go at learning. They've had a go at learning our culture, getting involved, not just running a football club. But then the first time someone's waved some money on the horizon, they're straight in and they're trying to justify it. And, Craig mentioned the email to staff. It's absolute nonsense. It's a load of shit. It talks about engaging with stakeholders. You do that first, not after. You don't go and do something as major as that, which essentially says to me, you're telling me how I should enjoy football, when I'm the one who's been here all the time. You only rocked up 10 years ago. And when you did rock up, by the way, you turned up saying, I don't know nothing about your game. I don't know nothing about your club, your city, or this league. I'm a baseball man. And you had Werner saying, I sat in a meeting about Liverpool playing on my BlackBerry because I never thought John would go for it. It was just an investment vehicle and nothing more. But, I bought into the idea that they were talking to people, that they were learning about the club and all the rest of it. And then I've felt daft because it was thrown back in our face. And it's hard to just go, okay, well, you've eventually reached the right decision. You've reached the right decision now because of the fucking noise, because of what everyone said, because of the reaction. But as you say, there's a lot of talking to be done, and it needs to start soon.
It needs to start possibly tonight, to be honest with you, John. I do wonder the extent to which whoever it was who let Florentino Perez go on television last night and say all sorts of shit, all sorts
shorten
of mad stuff.
Fucking football matches.
May well have raised some alarm bells that this is who you're getting into bed with, this is the business that you're doing, this is the way in which you're moving forward. You know, we'll come back in a minute, we will get around to Slaughter and UEFA as well, whilst pointing and laughing at everybody else. But from a Liverpool point of view, you know, I don't like it when people refer to themselves as having been embarrassed, or that, you know, you feel as though you're ashamed or anything like that of actions that are completely separate to you. I think it's always worth remembering that that's the case. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, there's going to be a long time here where pointing and laughing at Fenway Sports Group is perfectly reasonable for a large number of people in this country.
I'll point and laughing at all of them. Do you know what I mean? That Perez thing. Yeah, I think that's the reason we don't film live shows, isn't it? honestly, Perez last night, he was wild, wasn't he? I tell you what, 1 a.m, just chatting wham, like a scouse lid in someone's kitchen. honestly, he was busy, just saying stuff.
Have you heard love? No, have you really heard love? Says Florentino Perez.
I know. Yeah, it was absolutely worse. So yeah, let's laugh at them all. Let's laugh at them all, because they deserve to be laughed at. The whole thing's pathetic. Do you know what I mean? This thing they've been working on all this time, this thing that was going to save European football, was going to be brilliant for all comers, everyone up and down the country, every football club, your local under nines. This European was going to save, and it's come apart in 2 days because some lads went outside Stamford Bridge. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know, I feel a bit cheated in a way. We never really got going. We'd have done all sorts of mad stuff if didn't. Well, maybe, you know, maybe we'll still sort of get. But look, it is pathetic. And it just, you know, all of them involved need to have a look at themselves, you know, and how they sort of got to this. And listen, we're Liverpool fans, so we're going to, you know, shine the light more on Liverpool. And I think this is the worst couple of days since they've been at the football club. I think, you know,
okay, Douglas has just tweeted that the last few days have been really difficult for everyone who loves LFC, and I really hope we do the right thing. I wouldn't have thought Kenny was going to go off-piste, to be quite honest with you. Kenny does not do that sort of thing, so that is quite interesting. Go on, John.
Yeah, so I think this is the worst couple of days since FSG have come, and they've had some bad ones, but, you know, like Gareth was sort of saying before, some of the other ones you can put down to, you know, errors of judgment or whatever it is, but this is much deeper than that, and this is much bigger than that, and they've shown themselves to be, you know, almost sort of, you know, so against the sort of values of the people, you know, who follow this football club, that you do wonder how they return from it. And I think it'll be really, really difficult. I'm not saying it'll be impossible, but I can't almost see a route back for them now in terms of the owners that they sort of want to be, because, you know, this isn't like the furlough thing. You know, the furlough thing was a bad error of judgment. It was a mistake which they turned around quickly, apologised for, and yet it gets brought up every now and again, but poorly sort of forgotten. The ticket thing, you know, they got some credit for as well, but you don't get credit for going back on this. You just get shame, and you just get, well, questions, really, more questions. Well, how did he come to this point? You know, not how you communicated or didn't communicate the decision, really. You know, I was expecting a thing to come from them, this big sell, you know, this email, you know, that Robert was talking about before from Billy Hogan, you know, saying, oh, not everyone knows all the details, we're going to come out with all this stuff. Well, where was it? You know, they bottled it even before that, you know what I mean? And it's not good at all. You know, it's not good, and you know, they need to now assess not just this, but whether they are the right people to take Liverpool forward.
Football, you're easy to do, Gareth. You know, football's a need of reform in a lot of different ways, and that includes continental competitions. I think it includes domestic competitions. You know, the Championship I always use it as an example, but the turnover to wages ratio in the Championships, or wages to turnover ratio in the Championships, 107%. That's unsustainable. It needs fixing. In general, what is continental competition for? Do we want more of it? You can make a really fair argument. It's mad. The one I always use is that Mo Salah, you know, and Sergio Ramos still have not shared a pitch since the huge incident that happens in Kiev. And we are a little bit in the entertainment industry, and I'm happy to accept that as much as anybody else. For me, though, what attacked the very fabric fabric of football was removing merit. Was removing that you get what you earn, what you get, you get what you earn. And that's, you know, that's coming from us this season. I do wonder whether on our FSG, and not just FSG, but FSG thought, you know what, these will be made up if they've got guaranteed Champions League equivalent every single year. Because we know they love Europe. It's what they're meant to want. Whereas what we want is to have what FSG have been part of for us, and that's why they fucked it up so badly for me, is the most spectacular journey where you lift the European Cup in 2019 and it feels like the best thing you've ever seen your football club do, because you watched every step of the way from Gini Wijnaldum's goal against Middlesbrough. You watched every step and you enjoyed every step and you couldn't have loved those lads more.
Go back further from losing in Kiev, when we lost in Kiev and we all said, nah, it feels like the start or something, not the end. And we were right, and they felt the same way, and it was absolutely brilliant. And it's mad that, you know, these people have been involved in that journey. I mean, we don't even have to go, you know, you could tell the same story about 2005, about a side that we would never would have believed would lift the European Cup, and it did. It achieved the impossible, and it was mad, and it was a great ride, and what an end to it as well. Yeah, so the idea, they thought all of us were bought into the idea, oh, they just want big games week after week, they just want this event, they just want football content, not sport, you know what I mean? They just want to see the big boys slugging it out. Well, no, we didn't, because it's not special then, is it? And you know, the stuff Perez was coming out with was absolutely wild, you know, talking about potentially making games shorter, talking about we've got to appeal to the kids because they don't want to watch an hour and a half of football. And look, there is something in some of the things that got said here, but it was a daft way of going about it. And to just sort of say you were imposing it on the football world and no matter what, because we're the most powerful people here and we've already spoke to the lawyers. Like, that was a mad approach and was only ever going to go one way. And, you know, I'm not going to go into detail, but some of the stuff that fans were going to do in return was even madder, because it was football was going to be at its maddest. And I'm just glad that, you know, someone somewhere has seen sense and the dominoes have started to fall. But you can't just, I mean, I think you said something on a show, I said on a show as well, that, you know, they've done all this work to build up trust since they came in. Because I think it was absolutely fair enough that we didn't trust another set of foreign owners after we had Hicks and Gillette. So they came in and they built that trust up, and they had to build it over a long, long time. And we'll all know someone somewhere within our mates, within people we see regularly comments on the Anfield app, whatever it may be, you still don't trust them now. We've all got a different tipping point for the trust. But one thing that has definitely changed as a consequence of this is we all go now, nah, you've got work to do here. And as has already been said on this, the work may be involved you going, because you know what, it's going to be really hard to roll back from this, because it was such a big mistake. And we know as well, we don't need to name names, we know as well that there are people at Liverpool Football Club who work there, who put their heart and soul into that, who were hurt by this, who are looking at them and going, why have you done that? And I've hated the way Liverpool's name's being dragged through the mud. It's still being now, by the way. You know, we're watching live reaction as we're talking on here. And I can see people posting on the BBC saying things like, Liverpool should still be docked 6 points, blah, 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 blah. We never voted for it, lads. The players never voted for it. The manager never voted for it. None of us wanted it. The fellas at the very top wanted it. And they're the fellas who tried to make it happen. So if you dock us 6 points, if you like, the rest of the club, the team, the club, the fans, what have we done to deserve that? Some mad fellas who bought the club, did it? And, you know, the ownership thing in all this as well, the fit and proper person test, all of that should be revisited. And I would never ever give praise to Boris Johnson just out of the pure fucking sake of it, because he's a tit. But the fact that he was going on about rushing through legislation, well, why can you suddenly do that now, mate? Because everyone, football fans for years, serious journalism on the subject, whatever, you know, the likes of David Conn, we've been calling for years for there to be something in place that people can't just turn up at a football club, take it over and do what the fuck they want. And so that has to change. How many times have me, you or anyone from the Anfield app used the example of it should be like the National Trust, it should be like something that's protected, it should be something that we know is loved and cherished by communities, so you can't just throw it around like a toy. Do something about that now, then, everyone, please.
I don't want to get anyone too excited, because, you know, at some point we might stop doing this, but I've just seen Tarek Panja's tweeted that Florentino was meant to be on at midnight again tonight. And I just think we might have to go all the fucking way.
Can we get a squad rotation system? Because I've not had my tea.
And I've not had my tea either. I mean, being home. Need a piss.
Absolutely unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable that Florentino was meant to be doing it again. Anything could happen after that. Absolutely anything could happen. It is Craig, just to, you know, to pull it around, there is still the theoretical Champions League reforms that UEFA were all going away and working on. And I think one of the things that should happen now is that these clubs, these 12 clubs, I think if they qualify for whatever they qualify for, fair or square, but they should all sit in the fucking doghouse for a couple of years and let maybe a couple of other clubs, maybe clubs like Ajax, so I'm not going to pretend they're in some way sort of saints or anything like that, but maybe let a couple of the clubs from not the big leagues decide what that Champions League should look like for a period of time. Maybe everyone just needs to cop for that, cut the cloth accordingly, shrug the shoulders and say, yeah, we'll take a couple of years of yous deciding what that UEFA should look like. And UEFA themselves maybe taking a bit of a backseat as well. Get some football people in to be able to really start to sort that out.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you looked at the reforms that UEFA were trying to or are trying to push through, I mean, they're not all that brilliant either. And I mean, it's been very difficult throughout all of this when you're sort of fighting for something and you're talking about something and you know that you're on UEFA's side to a certain extent around all of that. And, you know, you've seen executives from UEFA, you've seen executives, you know, the football and bigwigs over the past couple of days lobbying against Super League, but using the fans and using the almost like as if they're the good guys in all of this. And I think the next thing now is it's, you know, we obviously should celebrate the fact that this Super League is hopefully not going to happen and has fallen to pieces and that rich fellas are made to be look very, very silly. But there also needs to be change where UEFA, you know, with UEFA in terms of ticket price, in terms of how they look after fans. Because one of the things that struck me about all of this was when they were talking about the fact that these young people are a bit disengaged by full-length football matches and they're disengaged by this. And well, actually, the problem is that they can't access football matches. They can access Fortnite because it's free and they can buy things within Fortnite, but they can't get near football stadiums. So there's other ways.
Craig, I'll just cut in there as well. One of the things I've always felt was our 17-18 European run than our 18-19 European run. It wasn't on ITV. It was on BT Sport. If people, normal people up and down the country, could have listened to Clive Tildesley commentate on Mo Salah in 17-18, they absolutely fall in love with that European, with that Liverpool side. They fall in love with Mo Salah. I've said that, you've heard me say it on stages. Nans would have loved Mo Salah. They'd have absolutely made, he makes sense to a nan as a footy player, and that he picked the ball up, he runs directly at the goal and then kicks it dead hard and it goes in. They would have loved that Liverpool team that season. And, you know, I've used Nans there, but also young people. If you take top-level football away from young people and then go, why don't young people love top-level football? You need to have a big fucking think about cause and effect.
Yeah, because they can access the 30 seconds and 60 second clips just by searching it. But they can't access BT Sport because they maybe don't have the subscription and so on. But I mean, can we talk about just the communication strategy, the brand strategy of the Super League?
Because it's absolutely wild.
First of all, their logo looked like the sunbeds around by mine. That's the first thing. I couldn't believe it. John's, I think it was John had said about Rory saying on the show that they've got a website, so it must be you know, it must be real. Have you seen the website?
Shit. Yeah, it's absolutely,
it's worse than ours.
It's mad how many people haven't seen it as well. It's like a whole thing has just felt like back of a fag packet. Like someone said one night, oh, go ahead, just do it and see what happens. And then they went, oh, hang on, we haven't got a website. Oh, I know someone and some work experience lad knocked up a website. Absolutely shit. And like, it just was like an unfinished idea, wasn't it? Like, what was the trophy? How did you qualify for it if you wasn't one of the chosen few? Oh, yeah, we'll work that out later. What's happening with the women's version? Don't know, there'll just be one. Oh, right, okay. It was such a shit. The whole thing was a shit show from the start to the finish. And hopefully this is the fucking finish.
If you want people to buy into a product, you surely have to be able to show them what the product looks like and what it'll feel like and the codes of it. And the thing is, you can say all you like about UEFA, but the Champions League, even in its sort of reformed in the 90s thing, like the music, the stars, the footballs, the you know, the everything about it, you sort of, it makes you feel something. And so then they launch this product that just does fucking nothing. And these are people that, like, you know, if we're talking about the owners in Boston, these are people who have Harvard MBAs. And, you know, these are some of the smartest sort of businessmen in the world, and just everything about their communication strategy. I mean, Perez being the fella that gets put on late at night Spanish TV is wild in itself. But just everything about it, just like Garth said there, it felt half hours. There was just nothing about it that got you excited, even beyond everything else that was already wrong with it.
The communication strategy, I think, is so funny, John, in that they've got meant to have all the money in the world and they're meant to be the really smart fellas. And it's so bad. Like, even there's loads you could pick at in terms of the issues with UEFA. I can think of 10 things about UEFA that makes me pretty disgusted in them. But they don't even astroturf that for a period of time leading up to this. They're not giving little interviews and making little points here and there and saying this is wrong and this is wrong. That doesn't even come out. They don't even say that after the fact. They don't even make it clear why there should be a breakaway from UEFA. No one goes out and makes the argument. These people have styled themselves as very, very, very clever indeed. They've styled themselves as, we've got the best advice, we've got the best PR agencies, and over and over and over and over again, it's a fucking shit show.
It is, and I've been almost impressed by the levels of shit show that it's been. Like, it
feels like an art project, this one, doesn't it? Someone's really, the KLF are burning the money somewhere.
it's absolutely unbelievable how badly it's gone, and it's almost, you know, to be applauded in a way, really. It's just sort of incredible. But I think the problem is that they're all so different, and so they've got this sort of thing in common, really, which is they all think that they should be making more money. But obviously everyone's got sort of different things, and so, like, you can just imagine all the rest of them watching Perez last night going, oh, someone who's matey, do you know what I mean, who's getting a grip of him, do you know what I mean? Because it's like, because it's the, you know, there's, it's a bit of a, it's a bit of a weird crew, isn't it? Because obviously you've got the sort of American sort of hedge fund owners, but then, you know, the donation states, if you like, and then these sort of president run clubs as well. And I think, you know, they are so divided that any sort of chip, it's sort of all crumbled, really, because, you know, there isn't much of a shared set of values apart from the fact that we'd all like to earn a bit more cash. And so it's just, it was always going to fall apart, I think, at the first bit of pressure, but I didn't think it'd be this spectacular and this quick, to be honest with you.
It's, as part of all of this, there'll be some pressure on people, for instance, wanting there to be a change of ownership at Liverpool and at some of the other clubs as well. It is worth saying, I think, and it is worth sort of labouring the point of, is that we've managed to have all the different flavours of gobshite billionaires wrapped up in this one. You know what I mean? Or if there isn't another one, unless Craig's got some stuff he hasn't told us, John, about what's in his bank balance, there aren't any other types of billionaires other than the ones, yeah, that own these football clubs. So, you know, and I think that's sort of worth pointing out and worth dwelling on, in that I don't hold any candle here at this stage of proceedings in any direction, but it is sort of worth saying there isn't some sort of gang of saviours knocking around for football in general or for Liverpool in particular. The work's going to have to be done by supporters, I think, in conjunction with politicians and then in conjunction with people across the continent in order to sort a lot of this fucking mess out.
No, look, there's every different type of owner involved in this shit show, isn't there? So there's not the idea of, oh, well, if we had this, you know, apart from the German clubs who, you know, we've got the 50+1 model, which he thinks... Just shall read it out, Andy, because they can't hear it. We don't like it, and we don't... Just John Henderson. We don't like it, and we don't want it to happen. This is our collective position. Our commitment to this football club. I'll do it, Andy, because they can't hear it. Our commitment to this football club and its supporters is absolute and unconditional. You'll never walk alone. So there you are. So Jordan must know there's something going on as well. You'd have thought.
Trent said something similar as well. As Jordan, we don't like it. We don't want it to happen. This is our collective position. Our commitment to this football club and its supporters is absolute and unconditional. Jordan Henderson not fucking about, on the WhatsApps all day, sorting all sorts out. I said to Brock, Jordan's got involved. And she turned to me and went, to tell you what, Jordan can fucking organise. Jordan can organise. He knows where the numbers are. He's got the spreadsheet, Gareth. Last night, the manager...
Get him on Hanno's stag, do.
Yeah, get a fucking up. I'm going to need someone. Last night, Gareth, the manager, and Milner, in the context of all of this, I think it was the case anyway, but they are a credit to themselves. They stick up, and they stick up for who they are. They're very authentic in the moment, I think, both of them. You know, the manager is looking to defend his team, defend his club as he sees it. He's upset, he's sad, he's unhappy about the situation with the flags on the cop, which, if this all resolves itself, hopefully he'll be back there for him on Saturday, and hopefully Liverpool can sort that out very, very quickly indeed. You know, across the board on this, I think that the manager is very good at being a really authentic communicator, being the person that he is. And Milner himself, you know, being prepared. We act like Milner's the old man of the sea. He's most definitely younger than both you and me. Do you know what I mean? And he stood there in front of a camera and went, no, this is not for me. And when you know that it's something that your employer is pushing for, that takes some courage. Henderson doing the same stuff as well there as well. Trent being mentioned. They've been a credit to themselves, the footballers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it's odd, isn't it? It's an odd situation. I mean, I always try and think of these situations in something I could compute. So, like, you know, if you were in an organisation and someone at the very top was doing something absolutely mad, would you definitely speak up about it, or would you feel a bit weird and not know what to do? Would you worry about what it meant for your contract, or, you know, what happened with you? You know, you a million and one thoughts to go through your head. So to very quickly realise, well, look, I'm being thrown under the bus here. I've got to go and say something. I'm contractually obliged to speak to these people, and they're definitely going to ask me about it. I thought the pair of them, as you say, you know, handled it really, really well. And it was heartening to me, genuinely, that, you know, Milner just come out like that. I'm like, nah, it's not for me. Like, I'm made up. And equally with the manager, like, when I was watching, you know, I watched Neville and Carragher, like millions of people no doubt did. And you know, they hardly talked about the game. Understandably, we've been the same with our content, just not knowing what to do. But when Klopp came on, just the way he was, like, not just what he said, but the way he was, the way he said it, you could see the passion, you could see it was heartfelt, you could see he meant it. It wasn't some prepped thing. He wasn't putting on an act. Mm. And that really got me, that. Do you know what I mean? I was watching it and going, you know, this is so shit for everyone, this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I put something last night saying, you know, I felt sorry for them. Felt sorry for them. Us all watching in, and the world all watching in, and going, well, go ahead then. Just go and perform anyway, as you would normally, with all this shit going on, with the pandemic, with no fans, with a shit show of the season, with another fucking centre half injured. Do you know what I mean? With all of these things going on, just go out there and know what to say, and judge the mood right. And look, you know, they have got some staff behind the scenes who are good communicators, who know a bit of PR and all that, but they're also their own men. And we've seen that with Jurgen Klopp. You know, he's got an advisor or whatever. He's got someone who's at his side who we know and stuff like that. But equally, you know, if Jurgen wants to say or do something, we've seen him do it many a time. So, you know, I thought it was absolutely brilliant from him. It was heartfelt. And as I say, it got to me. It made me angry from that point in. I was angry anyway, but ramped it up massively when I seen Jurgen say that, because I just thought, this is so shit. You're pissed all over the manager here.
Absolutely, it is. It is worth saying. Henderson's statement has been either quote tweeted by many others. Virgil van Dijk has quote tweeted it, put an arrow above it. A few others have just got the same graphic as him and put it in there. It is. You know, this little bit of this, John, really is the only real heartening part. But it's a heartening part you can hook around. These are our lads. They were our lads anyway, but they're our lads. I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, and it's great that we can sort of go back to focusing on that, really, because, you know, it is just a matter of time now before this all collapses. And look, I didn't want Saturday, you know, I was thinking about it before, you know, to be about, you know, anything negative around the team, really. But unfortunately, you know, that's when the eyes are wielded on you. And you know, we've had to do protests in stadiums before. We've had to do walkouts in stadiums before, and it's not fun,
that long
you know
ago.
What I mean? It's not nice. It's not. It's against sort of everything in your instincts to be as a supporter, but you do it because of the bigger picture, and obviously, you know, there's been sort of success in it as well. So I was looking at the sort of Chelsea stuff today and thinking, well, there will be something sort of similar to that on Saturday, and, you know, arguments around, you know, do you allow the bus, you know, to sort of get there and things, and, you know, and And now, hopefully, we don't have to do any of that, and we can all, gather as we would be, safely in establishments or at home or whatever, and watch Liverpool, and all focus now on Champions League qualification. Now it's looking like, it is sort of going to be a thing again, and all, allow us to tell the players and to tell the managers somehow, however we can, that we're behind them, that, we're together, and they haven't let us down in any of this. Do you know what I mean? They've been put in a crap situation, but they've done their best, and they've done the best for themselves and for the club, and they're always a credit to themselves and the team, and they will continue to be so.
Do you think the owners? I might be reading too much into this. I'm floating it. Do you think the owners are allowing the bus to reverse back over themselves? What I mean by that is, it's clear it's gone tits up. It's clear that it now has to be managed, as we spoke at the start of this, about how the fuck do they roll back from this, especially when you've pissed so many people off, all your stakeholders, fans, manager, players, staff at the club, full it, rest of football. while I'm looking at, this statement coming out from Trent, from Jordan, Kenny Dalglish saying what he said, it's slowly ticking off a list of all these people that were not behind it, and Liverpool still haven't said anything. So what I'm saying is, it almost feels like someone's gone, well, yeah, yous can all come out and say, fuck all to do with me, it's on them, and then they have to come out eventually and go, it is on us.
I think that's very possible, to be honest with you. I don't think that's mad at all. I think it's very possible that that's sort of the timing of this now, that Liverpool are going to let the people who they're pissed off speak, and then they're going to have to cop for it and go, yeah, well, we pissed those people off and other things are happening and we're not having it anymore, and we're going to walk away from it. And that might now be the thing that they've got to do in order to get themselves out of it, to be honest with you, Gareth. I think you could be right. The thing that strikes me, Gareth, without fucking about on it, I'll bring Craig back in a second. The thing that strikes me is that it's hysterical that the footballers are better organised and have got better graphic design and a clearer message than the people who organise the fucking Super League.
It's mad, isn't it? I mean, maybe we should ask Jordan Henderson if he can do a new website for us. He shorted tomorrow, wouldn't he? It just goes to say for me as well, I don't mind now getting lovey-dovey about the ball, because you know what, they're great, aren't they? And Jordan's fantastic. He's previously organised stuff. He's obviously organised something again. It's happened very quickly. And yeah, he's got the graphic design sorted as well, so fair play to him. Not only does he sort out Liverpool when he plays, he can sort out seemingly anything. Money for the NHS, getting rid of a shit idea about football. I mean, get the fella in at number 10, I say,
I think it's a very important point to talk about that and celebrate these footballers sort of beyond what they've done on the pitch and even what's beyond what's happening today, because like we've seen throughout the past year during a difficult time for everyone, when they're putting out these statements about they're going to speak to the key stakeholders about this, that's what it said in Liverpool's statement on Sunday night. All of this has shown that the two key stakeholders within football are the fans, first and foremost, and the players on the pitch. And, the fans have all come together and sort of held each other's owners to account in their own way, as of the journalists, and we've seen the players do it as well today. And I think that it's only sort of strengthening our bond with these footballers that we know that we can rely on them to not just sort of go along with the company line, that when they feel like something is strayed away from the values of the football club, that they understand the values of the football club and they'll pull them back in, and that's what we've seen from James Milner when he goes against the owners. That's what we've seen from Jurgen Klopp, and I think that's a really, really powerful thing that should be celebrated.
It should be, John. It definitely should be. I think elsewhere as well today, I thought that Guardiola spoke really, really well. There was all the stuff that he's not going to answer any questions on it. And then it was like question one, Guardiola absolutely jumped in and said, as far as he was concerned, he wanted football to be competitive. He wanted it to be based on merit. I think, in general, De Bruyne has come out and said that he's pleased that City have turned it around. And he's communicated that, for as far as he's concerned, competition and merit matters. I think part of a lot of this is that it is a cultural thing with the footballers themselves. And I do feel as though they may well have ended up being almost the most sort of critical part of this, that they want what they do on the pitch to matter. Like, what is the point? What are you getting if what you do on the pitch doesn't matter? Where are you and what's it all about? Yeah, go ahead, Ant, don't worry about it. Phil, you know, you end up in a situation where you can, you know, you can think that they're separate or something like that, but ultimately they want the games of football they play to really mean something as much as possible, in the same way that we want the games of football they play to really mean something as well.
Yeah, I think that's right. And look, I think there's a lot of people coming out with credit. You know, you mentioned Guardiola before. That happened when we were in the office and we were like, you know, fair play, do you know what I mean? He's been much stronger than he sort of needed to be, really. You know, you've seen a couple of the others, like, was a joke, but, you know, but I thought, you know, but Pep was great, and a couple of other players. I thought Luke Shaw put out something really good, and I think a lot of them, as you say, Neil, it's remembering their journey they've been on and what's inspired them and what they've needed to sort of keep them going at various points. And, you know, they didn't always start in the most fashionable places or at the most fashionable clubs, or, you know, are necessarily destined for the top level or for greatness when they needed to, you know, certain clubs to help them along the way at different times, you know, good coaches who believed in them, and also, you know, a couple of breaks and things like that. And you know, a lot of footballers remember that, really. You know, it's not all like someone like Trent, who, you know, born here, you know, in the stone's throw of a brilliant club, you know, join it when you win in the academy and then end up, you know, winning the European Cup when you're 20 or whatever he was. You know, for most other players, you know, it's a bit more bumpy than that. It's a bit more Sapin and Leo, a bit more sort of long winded than that, really, and a bit of a winding road, and along the ways, you know, with these football clubs often who aren't maybe the most fashionable or who aren't invited into these leagues or whatever, but they're just as important, they're just as valuable, and they're part of the journey. And I think Kevin De Bruyne sort of reflected that really well, you know, that whole thing. And as Pep said, you know, if, without, you know, the competition, without the idea of, you know, what matters, then what is the point of it? You're just the Harlem Globetrotters playing exhibition games effectively, and no one wants that, and no one who really understood the game wanted that, really, and the people who didn't understand that, again, need to have a big look at themselves and wonder why they're in it.
Pop world have banned John W. Henry breaking.
Huge.
Real blow to him. John, just to come back to you now on the political pressure in this country first and foremost, and then the wider sort of stuff. I think in this country, the governing party has been bounced into a fan-led review that it promised to action up until this point. That fan-led review, obviously, it will continue because you can't stop these things once you've started them. And they were actually looking for someone to take the role. I read the job description about 6 weeks ago, so they've been a bit smart-ass around that. They've just accelerated it a tiny little bit. But, you know, this is just one man's opinion from having read the job description. There is, you get your season ticket loan in there. That was in the terms and conditions, if anyone was interested. There is, with them now, though, the whole kit and caboodle now is up for grabs, as far as I'm concerned, and it's important that the sort of the pressure's kept on. The game is now a multifaceted, hugely diverse thing. The 18 to 34 thing's a really valid point in terms of how they can and can't access games. The idea that there are, you know, cuts across demographic lines, such as race, such as gender, such as age, that are quite significant in there. You know, this review, it needs to have proper answers for football. The Premier League was formed in 1992. That will be 30 years in about 18 months' time. 30 years back from 1992, Bill Shankly hadn't even won a title with Liverpool. It's really important, isn't it, that that's taken deadly seriously, that the best people that can contribute to that, and that we get a real sense of what we want our football to be.
Yeah, 100%. This can't be the end, you know. This needs to be the start, really, of, you know, not just, well, we haven't ended up with the worst thing. Is that, well, how can we get close to what's the best thing for the game? And I think, you know, it was interesting listening to your conversation with Rory the other day, or whatever it'll be, what our days at the moment. Whenever you spoke to Rory and I listened to it. Was it only yesterday?
It was only yesterday. It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, when Rory was saying, like, look, we all need to admit that we've all taken our you know, our eye off the ball a little bit, or been a bit complacent, and I'd certainly include myself in that. You know, there's the stuff you really like about football, and then there's the stuff you don't like, and sometimes it's easy to just sort of focus on the stuff you like and just sort of ignore the bad stuff, isn't it, until it is thrown in your face. And that's the mistake I think that the big clubs have done, is that they've shined a big maddy light on all the stuff you hate, and so you couldn't ignore it really. But it's brought it all, you know, out again, and it was, because it was always on the surface for you and stuff. As I say, you were just focusing on the stuff you love, because that's what you want to do, because it's a leisure activity at the end of the day. But I think now we need to all kind of, you know, have a way with ourselves really, and you know, remind ourselves that, you know, that there is so much about the game, you know, that isn't right and isn't good enough and needs sorting. And you know, some of us are in obviously stronger positions to do that about that than others. There'll be people listening to this thinking, you know, well, yous are in a better position to have influence. And they'd be correct to a degree, but yep. You know, as you're hinting there, Neil, there's obviously a lot of other people who've got much more influence than us. And so it's all doing our bit. It's all putting the pressure on. It's all signing the petitions when you see them. It's all putting pressure on politicians. You know, all these cranks who've had a lot to say over the last couple of days. Well, let's get on to them. Do you know what I mean? Let's kind of, you know, remind them of all the things that they've been saying about, well, you know, all these people say, well, it's not right. Well, UEFA are doing all right. Well, let's turn to them. You know, the FA are a joke. Let's face it. You know, the Premier League aren't good enough. You know, let's keep this energy going now, and let's keep this kind of alive, really, and keep this kind of focus on the people. You know, we might not be as bad, you know, as this European Super League, or might not be proposing anything bad, but a lot of it's not far off.
Just Gareth, on this, one of the things it tells me, this is what can happen when the media gets behind and agrees with a cause. And I think that's worth bearing in mind. We talk a lot about sort of the difficulty of getting certain causes through. It helps when Carragher and Neville are on Sky, and it helps that Sky are happy for them to cut loose at length because they don't feel like they'll be part of this, if we're all honest about it. Yeah. You know, now we'll be on the other side of this. I understood when people said, you know, don't go your way to call them hypocrites. We all want things, this thing to go. But the point now is that the people who, you know, where you're on the pay TV platform, we all know the influence Sky has had. Was owned by Murdoch, now owned by Comcast. We all know that. And we all know that. I'd like to think Carragher and Neville, for instance, are smart enough to know they can't put this genie back in the bottle. That said, you know, Neville is a partial owner of a side that has financially doped its way up through the lower leagues. Yeah. And it is worth pointing that out, and it is worth dwelling on that a little bit, really, when people are taking the moral high ground, in that if you're going to go on the moral high ground, as a lot of these papers have done, as Sky have done, as a lot of different people have done, if you're going to go on the moral high ground, we'll fucking stay there and we'll hold you to account on that now next.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, this applies to all the politicians who've jumped on the gravy train in the last few days as well. You know, already, you know, it looks like they're trying to continue that and say there will still be a fan-led review. Okay, well, what does that mean? What is that? What is the fan-led review? How does it work? Let us know some details, flesh it out, make it happen, and let's see it. Because we know how quickly things can get tied up and not go anywhere. And yeah, you're absolutely right that, you know, lots of people have paid attention to this story. It's been the biggest story for 48 hours or more. It's been the top of every news agenda. And that's made a difference, no doubt about it. And so, you know, maybe it makes some people realise, you know, the platform they've got, as you say, but also the importance of speaking to fans. You know, no one person can know everything at any one time. Nope. And the important thing is to sometimes say, okay, well, I need to speak to people then. I need to go out there and ask people. You know, don't have the arrogance that you've always got the right answers. And yeah, I hope it does lead to something. It feels like we've been at, you know, crossroads before where we say things like this and then we find ourselves revisiting the same place once more. As I say, we've been talking about football reform for, well, the whole time we've been doing the Anfield Wrap over one subject or another. And look, it's good for us to keep talking about it, but we'd all absolutely love it to change, and change for the better. I was really worried. I really was about all this direction of travel, and I'm made up that, you know, the tyres have burst and it fell off a cliff, because I think if this had been allowed to happen, it could have been the gateway to all kinds of nonsense. You know, it really could have been. And you know, the ticket prices were only ever going to go one way for me. You create something called the Super League, you automatically say, well, I can charge more for it, for TV subscriptions, for people who could still afford to go. And it felt massively like a race to go and find the fans with the most money, and not and acknowledgement of the people who've always supported clubs, who create the culture, who create the seditions, the colour, the noise and everything else. So we need to keep fighting that corner because, you know, it'll come back again. It's one of them. It's, you know, we've hit the hammer on the head this time, but it'll pop up in a different place, I'm sure it will. There's too many fellas in charge of clubs, in charge of powerful football organisations, who still think all the stuff that we saw in a badly presented way over the last few days. And they'll look to come again in a different way. We've all, like I say, it's not just media, it's us as well, you know, fans, fan media. We've all got to realise that, you know, we've got some power here and we can use our voice for good. And it is good. We only just started it, but it is good when we're all on the same page. I mean, I'm genuinely made up. I don't know if it was on, whether we said this on camera or not, or whether we were still setting up. I'm genuinely made up that there was loads of people at Chelsea. I did not see that one coming. But, you know, fair play to the lads who support them. Like, you've got out and shown me something that I would never have expected of you. I thought Liverpool fans would do it. I thought Man United fans would do it. And then when I looked at them down there, I thought, nah. But go ahead. Yep. You were up to something there. Petr Cech was down there and all that. So I don't know. I still don't know actually what happened there, but it looked good. Fair play to them.
Hector Bellerin, Arsenal captain, has tweeted an image of Wenger. To all the Arsenal lovers, take care of the values of the club. My love and support forever from Arsene Wenger, which I think makes Bellerin making very clear what his position is there as Arsenal captain. Craig, the last sort of the bit of this that you begin to sum it all up to an extent is they wanted to use the phrase legacy fans as though legacy fans were a problem. The people who come through the gate who create the atmospheres that the footballers play and the atmospheres that the footballers have clearly missed. The legacy fans have fucking won.
And, you know, when they have on this occasion and they've shown just how sort of fans have shown how strong their voice can be this time. And I think that, you know, the thing that didn't sit right with me about all of that was that it's legacy fans that create the traditions and set the values of these football clubs and set the, you know, it's the atmosphere that comes from them in these big games that they're talking about. And I think that the thing that just troubled me throughout all of this is that they just hadn't spoken to fans about it. And that's bad business practice from fellas who you'd think would know a lot more about business, isn't it? That anything that you're new, that you're trying to create, you would try and bring them. You try and bring us along with you and you'd have us carving the ideas and carving how it looks and or us telling you that actually this isn't going to work and it's a really bad idea and you should stop it right there and then. Instead they looked at new sort of customer segments that they were going to target and they sort of downplayed the importance of these so-called legacy fans. And you know, I hope it does make a massive difference to the sort of different ways in which you know, these big business owners and these big wigs and suits within football sort of conduct their business and how they when they do want to adjust parts of the game or even transform parts of the game, that they do so with not only the fans you know, within their eye line when they're thinking about it, but actually sitting down and talking to the fans and sitting down and not just talking to one group of fans or one type of fans all around the world, and gathering that actual data before coming up with something that they've come up with because it works for them, it works for their bank balances.
Just to sort of begin to round it all off, John, we're still waiting for Liverpool to confirm that they're pulling out, which is somewhat frustrating. It would have been absolutely lovely if they could have done it whilst we were doing this, but they haven't yet. It's clear that where the players lie, where Kenny lies, and everything that matters, it feels like it's a direction of travel for the whole project right now. It was interesting when Bamford mentioned racism. I thought last night when he talked about, you know, the speed of reaction on one thing and not on another. And I think that, again, in exactly the same way, you know, footballers have had a go at coming together, I think, on the racism question this year, but they maybe don't feel as though they've been quite supported as they would have been. And the speed with which, for instance, UEFA leap into action around this when the money's a doubt and there's elongated press conferences and rants and raves about who you can trust and who you can't and lots of chatter about consequences and legal action and throwing people out of competitions, I think it's a really, really valid point to say that, you know, there's lots that the game can get to grips with. And the more zero tolerance it is, the faster it moves, the better, because what you do is you leave people with no time to breathe and you just sort shit out.
Yeah, and I think that is fair, and I think this is a sign of, you know, of power of people and power of ordinary people, really, but also, you know, how quickly, as you say, things can get done or things can change, or people, you know, we were only hearing yesterday from Perez that it was all signed and no one can back out. Do you know what I mean? And so, and the, yeah, but the impossible became possible very quickly, you know, when it mattered enough to people. And so, you know, football clubs, you know, people involved in running a football, you know, need to decide, you know, what other things matter, and you know, what other things are important enough, as money seemingly is, to them to make fundamental change. And I don't want to hear anymore that things are difficult or impossible, or you know, you need to consider, you know, X or whatever. If it's right, just get it done. And if it's, you know, if it's correct and you can see it is, and with things like racism, there is no, you know, there is no grey area, there is no sort of, you know, different sides, you know, we just know what is right and what is wrong. And so, yeah, this needs to be example for lots of things in terms of the speed of the change that can happen and that should happen for more than just this.
Yeah, and just to sort of come back on that, John, I was lucky to sit on a Labour Party thing today around sort of what they want to do and the pressure they want to keep putting on there. I think that however people want to put that pressure on, whether it's through organised political bodies or just as individuals, it's important that everyone does take the opportunity to do so, to say what they want to see be different within the game, whether that's around women's football, whether it's around the questions around race, whether it's around general sort of diversity stuff, or around how the money spread out. You know, it remains to be an absolute disgrace that 92% of the money that television brings in this country ends up with the Premier League, or with parachute payments to sides that have failed in the Premier League. You know, there's so much to be done, and there's so much that everyone can do.
Yeah, and so let's put pressure on all these people who've had a lot to say about how football's run, and say, and what are you going to do about it now? Do you know what I mean? It's not just about jumping on things, you know, and I'm talking more about the Prime Minister here, but, you know, it's not about just jumping on things when they're in the news or when they're trendy or when there's, you know, obvious people to kick. It's well, okay, well, what are we going to do about the game now? Because it obviously is so important to so many people, because, we, you know, we've seen the reactions, we've seen the hostility, you know, we've seen, you know, how quickly, you know, how much anger these changes have kind of, you know, brought out in people. So okay, this is the nation's game. This is very important. We've seen what a power it can be for good. You know, we've seen what positive influence it can have on people's lives. So let's make sure that it's protected. Like, let's make sure it's in the best, you know, position possible, in the best state possible, and it's as welcoming and open to as many different people as possible who want to get involved in it.
All right, we'll begin to end it all. Gareth, just very quick on the fact that the people who think they're the smart ones who run the football clubs, they've got to start taking a bit of time to think things through. It doesn't take much effort to consult.
No. And look, you know, again, you feel sucked in, because there were signs there across FSG's reign that they were looking to do that. You know, when he first arrives, you know, John Henry's pictured walking away with a armful of Liverpool books. I haven't spoken to various Liverpool fans. He spoke to people off forums. I think he spoke to people from Spirit of Shankly and things like that. Later, we saw supporters forums set up. I was briefly on one of them, and then they didn't seem to really meet again. I don't know if that was down to me, but
maybe you were meant to arrange the next one.
Yes, email I haven't replied to. Just go, let's never get back to that. He's on the talking Reds there. What's he up to? There were efforts made, and then some of them seemed to fall by the wayside. We also know, of course, that, you know, staff were employed, people were employed to create a bridge between supporters and the ownership and the people that run the club and stuff like that. Just, they need to double down on these efforts. And look, as we were saying when we were all very angry, was it only yesterday? Yeah, it seemed so mad. Absolutely. It was, wasn't it? Yesterday, you know, you had Jay there saying, you know, there's plenty of people that they can pick a phone up to. There's plenty of people they can email. And in the past, look, they've done it. So why have you stopped? You know, what's changed? Like, we're still the fans. We're still engaged. We still go. We still want to go again. We still can't wait to be back in there. You know, we've recently shared very good times together. We won the league. We won the European Cup. Like, I don't get why you wouldn't do it. I don't get why the constant, it comes back to almost this weird arrogance of, we know better about everything. Yeah, you've got money, sound, and you've made money in a certain way, sound, but that doesn't mean you know everything. And absolutely consult. And look, you know, with these ideas, bake the ideas with the people involved. Don't go and make a cake and then just go, yeah, I've done. And I'm not asked if you don't like it. Do you know what I mean? It's a mad way round to do it. Like I say, even that Hogan email, I just couldn't understand why, you know, using corporate parlance, stakeholder management type stuff, it was talking about that in the email. You do that first, mate. You do that before an idea is presented to the world, not after. Because no one believes it after. But they might believe it before. And like they might get sold on it before, not this particular idea, but an other idea. So yeah, absolutely, they need to start engaging and doing it in a meaningful manner.
The only reason you don't engage with fans or with your customers is if you either don't care what they think or you know what they'll say and you go and do it anyway. And I think that's the most worrying thing about all of this is that they've got these people within the club that they know that they could pick the phone up to. They've got these external people that they could pick the phone up to or send an email to and speak to about things like this and big changes like this, but they didn't do it. And I think in the past when we've seen the U-turns, and we've seen plenty of them now, when we've seen those U-turns, when they've done it, there's been times where it's, you know, you've gone, oh, well, you know, at least they've U-turned, at least they've sort of learned from it. And that's been the line that's come out there, that they'll learn from it. And I think that the disappointing and worrying thing about all of this is that they don't seem to have learned from any of these U-turns, because every time they've either not spoken to anyone or not spoken to the right people or not taken into consideration what those people have told them. And this has been the biggest sort of one of those of all.
And we've now got to knuckle down to an extent, John. And then getting back in next season, yes, we've had hard lines over the course of this, but we all want to see Liverpool play Champions League football that recommences on Saturday. It's significant, I think, that, you know, Liverpool do get back in, and they get back in with a bit of humility at the very top of the club.
Yeah, humility is needed now across the board. But as you say, you know, on the pitch, there's a job to do. And you know, it's great that the players can fully focus on that now. You know, on Saturday, you know, you're taught, you know, it'll all be sort of sorted out by then. It'll all be sort of, you know, not forgotten, but you know, for the players, you know, they can push it out their minds and focus on the task in hand. You know, there's a big job to do. It's not completely on our hands, but you fancy if we, you know, win five of these last six games at least, then we should be able to get there. And so let's go out and do it, starting there on Saturday. Hopefully the players know we're with us. We can't be, you know, completely sort of, you know, with them in terms of, you know, being in the ground like we'd like to. But hopefully they'll see the reaction to what they're doing, and hopefully see, you know, the positivity coming at them, you know, for the social statements and stuff like that, and then hopefully see that, you know, the inspire them to do something brilliant on Saturday, you know, and finish the season on a bit of a high.
Just to sort of end it all, John, the Spirit of Shankly statement, Spirit of Shankly note with anger, the club owners are still hanging on to this shattered nightmare. They're calling on the FSG board to withdraw the club immediately, to coin a previous campaign, not welcome here. In general, the fan groups have worked together quite nicely there as well, and they do deserve an enormous amount of credit for that.
Yeah, they do, and that's been good to see. You know, the statements have come from SOS, but I noticed quite a few times they've been signed there by Spy on Cop, by Cop Outs, and by one or two others as well, whose name escapes me, apologise. But that's great, and I think, you know, this football club works best when unity is shown, and that's another thing that FSG need to understand, is that, you know, when we do pull together, we can achieve great things, but it is very, very easy to divide as well when you go off and do your own thing and think you know better. They've proven yet again that they don't, and they need to learn much, much quicker.
Absolutely. All right, then. Just very quick, we've done this tonight and it is available. Do let people know. The whole thing, I think, will be on YouTube after the fact. I think that's how that works, as ever, showing exactly why, you know, the people on this call are all really, really good at new media. Not entirely sure as to how all the tech will pull itself together, but we'll get there in the end. Tomorrow, for a period of time, and I cannot begin to even contextualise this for you, our server's going down. We're moving servers tomorrow. Our timing is literally second to none. The only way this could be any fucking worse would be if I'd booked some leave and we were in the middle of nowhere, all of us together, or we decided to do a team away day or something fucking mad like that where you can't have your phone. Liverpool Football Club are unerring in this, their instinct around this, the wider football world. So tomorrow, we'll get a show out early doors. It'll be an overview. But that'll be available for you. And then the server will be disappearing in the afternoon. It should then come back up, and we're hopeful that lots of things will work better on our side. But yeah, it is a phenomenal bit of work with reference to our timing on this. When we decided it last Thursday, next Wednesday will be quiet, won't we?
Lads, we just need to bell Jordan, get a box, they'll be done, yeah. They'll be done in an hour.
He'll leg you a new saber round on his back.
It's important that everyone keeps working on the football side, as I say, whether that's as part of groups or whether that's as individuals. Do ever think about what you can do. Don't do your own heading about it. We're all meant to have lives beyond this. It is fair to say our lives are not meant to be dominated by this. I always feel as though people presume those who commit a lot of time to things like Spirit of Shankly are doing so for the good of their own health or because they fundamentally enjoy it. That is often not the case, and it's often quite thankless. So if we say work on football stuff, just have a little think here and there about what you can do, but whilst you look after yourselves and keep yourselves in a safe space. The other thing, as I pointed out before, you know, this shows you what can happen and how society can change very quickly if the media backs people. Media reform is something that is significant within this country. We've also seen what we can do with monopolistic capitalists and how quickly they can be faced down. All of that said, subscribe to the Anfield Wrap, £10 a month. John Gibbons, Gareth Roberts, Greggy Cannon. It has been an absolute pleasure to be live for you on Talking Reds tonight. Hopefully by the time we wake up tomorrow morning and our server goes down, Liverpool have done the decent thing.
Podcast Network.